Good. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good. Daniel 9. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish their transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for the time to gather together to sing the songs of the faith, to rejoice in the life that we have in Christ, and to study your word. And we pray that as we study this morning and the message to follow, that we each and every one of us would be edified in the things of your scriptures, and that we would, by faith, rest in your word and live our lives based upon what it says. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last time we were together, we, looked at the issue of reconciliation for iniquity and bringing in everlasting righteousness. And so we have two more of the things to look at here. The last two that are listed, he says here, to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So are we on the same page? I think we have just the last two things here, right? Yes or no? Whatever, yeah. Yeah. What, now, but wait. She said whatever you said. It's not like that around the house usually, you know. Yeah, I'll vote for that. Yes, that's true. That's right. You're working because they're too busy eating, you know. But hey, it's a rough crowd this morning, I tell you. You know. Yeah. Okay, but we do have a good time. I think sometimes when visitors come, if they see us like we really are, which is like we are. They're expecting, I think, sometimes real formal everything and no joking around. Yeah, then they'll come back, you know. Hey, this is the fellowship of the mystery, right? It's a mystery around here. Okay, but yeah, last time we were together, the last several weeks together, we've been dealing with the six specific things that are said to be that will be accomplished in verse 24 in connection with the time schedule given to Daniel. And just real quickly, you can see it. Look at verse 24 again. 70 weeks, so there's the time schedule, are determined upon thy people, that's Israel, thy holy city, that's Jerusalem. And then here's the six things that are listed. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. The last two we looked at last time. And then it says, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All right, test question. Who remembers when it says to bring in everlasting righteousness? What is that a reference to specifically? That's the kingdom. That's pretty clear that that's the kingdom. Okay, so that means you did, either you studied and figured it out, or else you were here. Anyway, we got through that last time, right? So, there you go. So what I want to do this morning is I do want to look at the last two of these six here. It says to seal up the vision, and then it says to seal up the vision and prophecy. Depending on how you break this up, you actually could make two issues out of those things, because there are definitely two issues in that phrase right there, to seal up the vision and prophecy. But then notice it says, and to anoint the most holy. Those are the two we want to attempt to cover this morning. We'll see if we can do this or not. The first thing I want you to notice then about that phrase, when it says to seal up the vision and prophecy, when you think of the idea of to seal something up, what comes to mind? Yeah, the idea of it's clear that it's talking about completing this thing, bringing it to its desired end. Okay. Yeah, when it's sealed, exactly, it's not going to be in dispute again. It's going to be accomplished. It's going to be done. Notice something else, and this is very important that you get about this. It says to seal up. What are the next two words there? The vision. In Daniel chapter number 9, was there a vision? In Daniel 9. Is there a vision? In Daniel 9. There's a revelation in Daniel 9, and the revelation of a time schedule. Right? Look at verse 21. Verse 20, yea, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins. Verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time. And he informed me. Daniel 9 is information. It's not a vision. See that? So there's a vision somewhere. Right? See how he says it in verse 21? Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time and informed me. Daniel 9 is information. Daniel chapter number 9, he gets the time schedule. He gets the timing. Well, where's the vision then? Yes, chapter 8, keep going. Chapter 2, keep going. What else? In the book of Daniel, there are three chapters, well, not just three chapters, up to chapter 9, because there's going to be some more in chapter 11 and so forth. But in the book of Daniel, you have chapter 2. Ted went over chapter 2, I think, 2 weeks ago, right? Okay, in chapter 2, what's going on in chapter 2? It's the great image. Who has that dream? Yeah, so see, Daniel doesn't have that dream. Nebuchadnezzar's image, the great colossal image, right? And who remembers what that vision was about? Fundamentally, what's it about? There you go. Okay, a series of successive kingdoms, the end of which was going to see what happening. That's right. The stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands smites the image at his feet. Those kingdoms are totally destroyed. And then his kingdom, this stone, stands forever. So in chapter 2, you have Nebuchadnezzar's image of this sequence of world empires, the end of which would be the result of the stone that comes and destroys them and sets up his own kingdom. Okay? When you think about it, what's kind of interesting is that that's not Daniel's vision. Whose vision was that? That was Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Who interprets it? Well, Daniel does. Okay? Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, you are given, Nebuchadnezzar actually is given, he doesn't realize it, but he's given the series of the times of the Gentiles. Remember that. The times of the Gentiles, that exact phrase. The times, not the fullness of the Gentiles, that's the phrase Paul uses over in the book of Romans, but the times of the Gentiles. That's in the book of Luke. So Nebuchadnezzar is that first Gentile, his kingdom, Babylon, is the head of gold, that first Gentile kingdom, right? And then there's going to be this series of Gentile kingdoms that are in power until Messiah comes to establish his kingdom. And once his kingdom is established, his kingdom will stand forever. Okay? When you think through then the book of Daniel, where are the next couple of chapters where you have clearly some major visions about some events and connected with this kingdom here, with this times of the Gentiles? Anybody remember? Well, in other words, what I'm driving at here is that Gabriel tells Daniel here in Gabriel 9:24, Gabriel in Daniel 9:24, adding to the Bible here. Oh boy. Yeah. Look at the second to the last phrase of verse 24 in Daniel 9. To seal up, what's it say there? What vision? Because there's not a vision in Daniel 9. What vision is going to be sealed up? Well, in Daniel chapter number 7, and Daniel chapter number 8. In fact, when you read in Daniel, you got to read those chapters together. Look over to chapter number 7 here, real quickly. Chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Now, hold that thought there. Go to chapter 9, verse 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 8, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. So, when does whatever happens in chapter 7, when does Daniel get it? First year, chapter 7. When does he get chapter 8? Now, look at chapter 9, verse 1. Where are you now? The first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes. All right. So timing-wise, remember that Nebuchadnezzar's image, and this is, you know, this got me in trouble several weeks ago. Nebuchadnezzar's image, remember he's got this head of gold there? Got the iron? Okay. this, and there's the legs and the feet down here. Okay? You know, don't tell me what that is, but this is supposed to be the head of gold, right? All right? So who is the head of gold? Which empire? The Babylonian Empire. Okay? Then who was supposed to be the arms in the chest? What's that? Yeah, Media Persia. Then? Greece.
Then Rome.
And then, it's not named, but out here, you know, with the 10 toes and the feet and all that kind of stuff down here, this winds up being an empire of some great king that actually stands up against the King of Kings. So obviously you know that that's going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist out here. Well, what I'm saying is this. In chapter 7, he tells you that it's in the first year of Belteshazzar. Who's Belteshazzar? Which empire is he in?
He's in the Babylonian.
So you're still here. You're past Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's dead by that point. Belteshazzar is his grandson. Okay? So you're in the first year of Belteshazzar. Chapter 8, where are you?
Third year.
Okay, so you're a little bit later on, third year. Chapter 9, where are you? So where are you now? You're now in Media Persia. See that? So basically, by the time you're at chapter 9, the head's been, he's been decapitated, okay? All right? So what happens is this, is that Gabriel tells Daniel in Daniel 9, he gives him the time sequence, and then at that phrase when he says to seal up the vision, he doesn't say the visions, plural, he says the vision. Why? Because fundamentally, the vision is what? It's one. In other words, it's all the big picture to see Messiah established as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why it says to seal up the vision. When you look at the details... Say that again?
All these kings would be inclusive ends of the vision.
That's correct. Yeah, what happens is this. In chapter 7, he gets the vision in chapter 7 while the Babylonian Empire is still going on. But he tells him some things in chapter 7 that indicate very clearly that the vision in chapter 7 is future from the Babylonian Empire. Same with chapter 8. So the visions here go beyond the Babylonian Empire. And we're going to look at this, but what I want you to see first of all is that when Gabriel tells him in Daniel 9 to seal up the vision, there is no vision in chapter 9, so what vision must he be talking about? He must be talking about what he's already received. And the fact that he calls it the vision instead of the visions tells you what? That's right. What's that? Yes. Yeah. What Israel was supposed to do is to piece all this together like a puzzle, and it was going to paint one picture for him. It's all related. Okay, everybody with me there? Okay. So let's look at this then. If to seal something up means to, what do we say? Bring it to end, complete it, seal it, and it will never be disputed again. That's certainly true as well. You bet. So if that's the case, then when he tells them in Daniel 9 that you've got 70 weeks to seal up the vision, here Daniel's been given these visions here. He tells them that Daniel is basically one vision. It's a sequence of events, the end of which is going to see the Messiah set up. You've got 70 weeks to see this thing happen. The vision is going to be accomplished and sealed up by that point. Okay? Now then, what we're going to do is we're just going to highlight some things out of chapter 7 and 8, if we can, depending on how much time we have here. So watch chapter 7 now. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my visions by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Now, a couple of things that are kind of interesting about that, and I got to be real careful because there's so much detail here, and I don't have time to get into all the detail if we ever plan on getting through any of this. But notice, when does Daniel have his vision? Verse 2, He says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by what? This is a vision of the nighttime. Just remember prophetically, the nighttime is the tribulation period. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ says things like this. He says, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he says, the what cometh? The night cometh. Remember? That tribulation period was coming. While he was there, they had the opportunity to respond to him as the Messiah. But he was going to go away, and they were going to go into the tribulation period. The nighttime is clearly a reference to the tribulation period. And behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. What is the only possibility of what the great sea is to Daniel? What's that? Exactly. Why? That's where he was. That is the great sea. The great sea to them, it's not the Pacific Ocean or you know, the Atlantic Ocean. It's the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? And what you have is you've got these four winds. You've got the satanic forces causing unrest among the nations that are surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. And verse 3, the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And he's going to give you a sequence of beasts. Verse 4, the first was like a lion. Verse 5, behold, another beast, the second, like a bear. Jump ahead, verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had on his back four wings, and so forth. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth. See, the first is said to be like a lion, the second is like a bear, the third is like a leopard. It doesn't tell you what the fourth is like, except to say, dreadful and terrible. And strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped. Now, if from Daniel chapter 2 you already know that Nebuchadnezzar's image represents a series of successive kingdoms and empires, and if Daniel is told in Daniel 9 that basically to seal up the vision, therefore it's all pieces of the same picture. Well, then when he tells you that you've got one that comes up like a lion, verse 4, like a bear, verse 5, like a leopard, verse 6, and then this fourth nondescript beast of verse 7, what do you know about this? Wouldn't it be reasonable to come to the conclusion that these guys in verse 4, 5, 6, and 7 also are going to follow this the sequence of empires here? Exactly what it is. Okay? And then look, you can see it, verse 8, and I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So what happens is you have this lion that raises up, then this bear that rises up, then this leopard that rises up, and then this fourth nondescript, this wild. The fact that he can't describe this by anything tells you that this thing is wild and degenerative. Okay? And then this thing has got these horns, and then one little horn comes up, obviously gains power. Now watch what happens at verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, who do you suppose the Ancient of Days is? That's the Lord, okay? All right, there you go. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That little phrase there, the fiery flame, the wheels of fire, that's the book of Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel chapter number 1. I mean, just in little phrases there, that's Ezekiel chapter number 1. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. That's Revelation 19. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. The Lord's going forth, and out of his mouth goes a flaming, you know, fire. Go ahead.
And back in verse 9, when the Ancient of Days did sit, does that mean the judgment was over?
Yes, it's well, yes.
The
yeah.
Judgment hasn't been completed. Acts chapter 7, where Jesus stood.
Yes.
As judgment here, so the Ancient of Days did sit.
Yes, yeah.
That meant the judgment of the nations was completion of would be the judgment of the.
Yeah, and let's do this. To answer that question, let's keep reading, because it's a good question. And no doubt it's the question Daniel had too. And let's keep reading and see how the thing flows here. Okay? So you can see at verse 10, if a fire, if fiery stream issues and comes from before him, that's judgment, right? You got fire coming out of your mouth. You're whooping up on some people. But not only that, thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. So you're given the whole big picture here. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Which horn? The little horn of verse 8. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. What do you suppose that might be? Well, yeah. What else? What's that? Yeah, the Antichrist. See, at the second coming of Christ, you've got the dragon, you've got the Antichrist, and the false prophet. What happens to the beast and the false prophet? There you go. And then Satan himself is bound for 1,000 years. There you go. So when you can see here, it says he was given to the burning flame. That's exactly what that phrase is. No. The given to the burning flames. That's Satan is not that's the Antichrist there. That's the lake of fire. Yeah. Okay. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and times. Now watch verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now who would that be? That's going to wind up being the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. I saw in the night visions, and one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Okay, now, if you were Daniel, and obviously you didn't have the rest of the Old Testament, you certainly didn't have any of the New Testament, and you're Daniel, and you get this vision here, what would be some logical questions you'd ask?
When would be
a major one? What else would you ask?
Who's the little horn?
Who's this little horn guy? Who are these other guys and so forth? And you can see the impact upon Daniel at verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. No doubt. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which great beasts? The lion of verse 4, the bear of verse 5, the leopard of verse 6, and this degenerate king, degenerate beast of verse 7. These great beasts, which are for what? Kings which shall arise out of it. This is interesting, because in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar is actually given the empires, the kingdoms. In chapter 7, Daniel is given the kings. See that? See the difference there? Okay. Because he tells it. He's not going to identify them by name. In fact, what he's going to do, he's going to jump right over a few of them to get out here to the end. He doesn't identify them by name, but he is going to give you in chapter 8 the way to know who they are.
We have the information okay. Today.
That's true, yeah. So look what it says, verse 17. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. So notice he says which shall arise. Okay, what did that just help us understand?
It ain't happened
yet. It ain't happened yet at the time Daniel's seeing it. What else? It's real important. Which shall arise.
The kings are going to happen, sure.
Think of it in relationship to Daniel's day. There you go. There you go. You know what? It's not Babylon. It's not Babylon. See that? It's not exactly, yeah. Okay. No, it's not going to, because see, Darius is not in power yet. See, chapter 7, the vision is in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. See that? So he says at verse 17, these great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of it. So their future from the Babylonian Empire. So in terms of trying to figure out who the lion is, you know you can automatically eliminate Babylon. And therefore Nebuchadnezzar. Say it again. Oh, interesting. Okay. Did you say it loud? So Schofield says the first one is Nebuchadnezzar. But that verse tells you it can't be. Okay? Because it says he shall arise. And in verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. Forever, even forever and ever. That's a great verse right there. So what happens, he says, listen, these four kings are going to rise, but you know what the end of this thing is going to be? Saints of the Most High God are going to win. Forever. So then Daniel says, okay, fine. Look at verse 19. Daniel says, okay, fine. You're not going to give me the details of these guys. Well, then how about if you do this? Then I will know the truth of the fourth beast. That's verse 7, right? That this nondescript, degenerative beast. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Why is Daniel content with saying, okay, then just give me the details of that fourth guy out there? Last one, just before the saints win. So, exactly. You know, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You know what? So he says again at verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were as iron, as nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, the other is the little horn, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Which of these empires is going to seek to destroy the saints of the Most High God? Israel. It's the little horn in that last kingdom. So that's why Daniel says, that's the guy you got to tell me about. Okay? Yeah, these guys are going to be successive empires and so forth, but this guy is the one that is going to be in ultimate battle with our Messiah and seek to destroy the saints of the Most High God. That's the one tell me about.
The kingdom has eliminated that the first kingdom, which was Babylonian kingdom, so now the ten toes is actually the fourth kingdam, what he's looking at now.
If I understand your question or the way you said it, what happens is this. The Babylonian Empire is succeeded by Media Persia, which in turn is succeeded by Greece, then Rome. Historically Rome. Now, obviously, there's nothing about the dispensation of grace in the book of Daniel at all. Nothing about church, the body of Christ.
The first one, though, Rome has the fourth kingdom.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so, what would happen here in Daniel's vision, when he says, you know, these guys in here I'm not so worried about. What I'm concerned about is that little horn out here and those ten toes. That's all I want to know about. Because that's the one that seeks to destroy the saints, and that's the one that the Lord comes and destroys. Okay? So, look at verse 21 again. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So who does it look like is winning in that verse? The horn's winning in that verse. See that? What's the first word of verse 22? Until. The Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Notice you got an issue of the time came. So, Mike, you remember earlier you said, well, when's this going to occur? Okay? Timing. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So, you automatically know you can eliminate Babylon. So you've got, it's not one of the four here.
That was my question before. It's not considered one of the four.
It is not, Babylon's not considered one of the four. How do you know? Because verse 17 said, which shall arise. So it's future from Babylon. Got that? Okay, did this clarify it? So the first kingdom then is not in this vision. In other words, let me say it this way. The lion, verse 4, is not Babylon, nor Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody with me on that?
Yeah, I think you cleared it up, Mike.
There you go. Okay, so therefore, what, Joseph? Yeah, so this is the lion's going to be who? Media Persia. Okay? So, look at verse 23 again. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down and break it in pieces. See, if you're gonna make, and by the way, this is one reason why some of the old time dispensationalists, Acts 2 dispensationalists, say that Rome, the revived Roman Empire, is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist, is because they started with Babylon. So they say Babylon's the first, Media Persia is the second, Greece is the third. Ah, therefore Rome must be the fourth.
Would the key word be that we're using kings here rather than kingdoms?
Well, yes and no. Yes in that you are using kings. No in that, remember, the vision is one. So a king is a king over a kingdom. Okay? And the fact that he says, look at verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. So you've got a kingdom represented by a king and so forth. But what I'm saying is, the old time Acts 2 dispensationalists, and many today, say that say Rome is the fourth beast. And that therefore, the revived Roman Empire, that the Antichrist is going to come out of Rome, and it's going to come out of Italy, and things like that. And it's because they make Babylon the first kingdom here. But what's the problem with that? You're one off already. You're one off already. So you got to advance. You got to go 1, 2, 3, 4. See, the first one. You got the lion. You got the leopard. You got the bear. And then you got this nondescript, degenerative. You can't even describe what it is. That's clearly the kingdom of the Antichrist. Okay. Go ahead. The four come out of this. In fact, when we get to chapter 8, that chapter 8 gives you some specifics on those guys right there, is what happens. Okay? What he was talking about was this. If you look, go over to chapter 8. Go over to chapter 8, verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. That is when Greece was broken up into four sections, Media Greco, the Asia Minor, the Syria, and the Egyptian Empire. Okay? And then verse 9, out of one of them came forth a little horn. Now I'm jumping way ahead here, but yeah, that's what you're talking about there. If you look ahead to verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of who? Media Persia. So there you're on those guys right there, Media Persia. Then he says, the rough goat is the king of Greece. So there you are right there. Okay? So, exactly. It says at verse 20 again, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media Persia. The rough goat is the king of Greece. The great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Well, who is that now?
No.
Alexander. That's Alexander. Verse 22. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. In other words, when Alexander's empire was broken up, it was four empires, so forth, and they never attained to his power. And verse 20. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, the king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand. And I'm way ahead of myself, but just to answer your question, yeah. What happens is his empire is broken up, four raise up, and then out here at the end, a great notable horn rises up. Go back with me, if you would, to chapter number 7.
But that kind of eliminates Rome.
Yeah, it does. It eliminates Rome from being the kingdom of the Antichrist out here. That's what it does. Okay? Rome winds up being in succession, but not that final empire. Okay?
So we can't use terminology.
Well, what's interesting is it actually never did fit, because it never did fit. It's kind of a popular thing that people have taught that it's the revived Roman Empire. Well, where is Rome? It's in Italy. Is Italy around the Mediterranean Sea? What do you think? What do you think? Well, when you're looking at, when you've got, here goes me drawing maps again, right? Yeah, you get lost if you use my maps. Yeah, the worst thing you do is draw a map when you're talking to a surveyor, right? But if you've got, this is Egypt. This is going to be Egypt down here, right? You've got Jerusalem here. You've got Asia over here, right? Where's the Mediterranean Sea? That's the Mediterranean Sea. And then, where's Italy? Remember the boot? Remember the boot out here? Italy's pretty far away from that thing. When the four winds stir up on the great sea, these are the empires over here he's talking about. Isn't that interesting? We're way too far off the map over here with Rome.
Are you pointing to Asia?
Asia's over here. There's Galatia. There's Ephesus is there and so forth. Then you had Macedonia. Macedonia and Achaia is here, right? You've got Achaia, you've got Macedonia, the Bereans are here, okay, Thessalonians are up there, Corinth down here, and then over, I should have moved that over. We're pretty far away when we're in Rome. And it's not to say that Rome was no part of this whole thing. It is to say that Rome is not that final kingdom. Okay? It is not to say that Rome is not a part of these sequence of empires. It is to say that Rome is not that final nondescript kingdom. So the common thinking that the Antichrist kingdom is going to be the revived Roman Empire, it isn't what it's going to be. It's going to be a revived Babylonian Empire. And the Antichrist is going to want... Well, remember we said that Titus doesn't fulfill that verse. Remember we said that? Yeah, Titus is not the one who fulfills that verse. That one, it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's still yet future. We'll get to that again in a couple of weeks, okay? Exactly correct. The very famous book about the French Revolution, The Tale of Two Cities, remember that? Well, in the Bible, there's a tale of two cities. And what are the two cities? Babylon and Jerusalem. You betcha. That's the battle. Babylon and Jerusalem. That's the tale of two cities. Go ahead. Okay, well, on this map, and this is Babylon is way out over here.
No, I'm talking about on the map. Is that
where
Iran is?
Iraq. Yeah, just north of Baghdad, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I can see we're not going to get much further today. But let's do this very quickly. Let me just go back to chapter 7, verse 21. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the ancient age. So you know the horn of verse 21 has got to be the person that the Lord fights. That's got to be the Antichrist there, right? Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Again, when's the time? Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth king which upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are the ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. By the way, that tells you that the ten kings of that last empire have got to be in place before the Antichrist officially assumes power, because that's what the verse said. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise what? After them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words. That's clearly the Antichrist against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until the time and times and dividing of time. That's 3.5 years there. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdoms and his dominion shall serve, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, and so on. Now, that's a lot, and obviously we didn't go into all the details there, but when you go back to Daniel 9 then, and Gabriel tells him to seal up the vision. Well, what vision? Well, in the book of Daniel, there's basically, you get a lot of pieces of one puzzle. And he's given the time sequence in which the vision is going to be sealed up and completed. And chapter 7 and 8, you're given some real specific details about where the Antichrist comes from, and then how to identify him in particular. Okay? What we'll do is we're going to have to pick up here next time. I know it's a lot to try to go over. The best way to get prepared for next Sunday on this is going to be to read Daniel 7 and 8. Read chapter 7 and 8 of Daniel. That's going to be the best way to do this. So read chapter 7 again, and then we'll go and do chapter 7 and 8 real briefly. It's not our purpose to study verse by verse through this, but just to have you see the vision, what it is, and therefore what it means to have it sealed up. Okay? Okay, we'll take a break here.